Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Yeah, right now the focus is on the offseason program, getting ready for the draft. So I think that situation is in a legal process, and we're respectful of where that is.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the show.
Yes, there is no Clint Sterner today. He is out for the day. Enjoy your weekend. But in for him, we got Mr. Sports Radio 610.com. You can read all his work there. Brandon, I'm going to go as government. Brandon, Kyle, Scott is in the building, baby. Welcome in, because we got a lot of, we're going to have fun, because we was both in there. Nick Caserio spoke to the media, and Nick brought it today now.
Yeah, man. Hey, he's got a little bit of personality to
him.
We'll
get to that.
And he's got some skirt to him. Like he was skirt to him.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying he was able to skirt the questions.
Oh, I got some skirt. I got you. Yeah. He damn sure did that. Yeah. Let's jump into that point. He damn sure did that. Of course, you knew. Hell, probably the first 6 to 7 questions were going to be Deshaun Watson questions, and we all tried to Harlem shake our way into different ways of asking the Deshaun Watson question. I want to say that I would put in a vote for myself as the most unique way to get to Deshaun Watson.
Hold on, Joe.
Others, I will not hold on, Larry. But John McClain, of course, led off. Good for him. I'm telling you right now, had that been asked to me, if I'd been getting the first question, I would have refused it and said, this one goes to John.
John.
This one's for John.
Hey, Ron, let me stop you right there.
I would have done it. I would have refused it.
Hey, shout out to John getting his spot back.
He got his spot back, yeah. Got his spot back. But John McClain got the first question off, and it was, of course, the question to Nick Caserio, the GM, about Deshaun Watson and where they are with his situation.
Yeah, I would say I really don't have any comment. I know Cal and ownership put a letter out a few weeks ago just relative to the organizational stance relative to where we are. So I don't have anything to add other than it's a legal process. We're respectful of the legal process and where that is. So we're focused on today. We're focused on getting ready for the offseason program and getting ready for the draft. So that's where our focus is.
As you said, though, he skirted a little bit. Like that was just one.
A little bit.
But that was just one. But every other one, He stayed with the game plan. They clearly, Brandon, had a game plan on how they were going to handle the Deshaun Watson stuff today.
Yeah, I think that the clear game plan, there were a couple of things that I think they wanted to avoid that were pretty obvious. They did not want to be a part of the latest Deshaun Watson news cycle. And I think for a while, especially even with that letter that Nick Caserio was referencing from Cal McNair, from the team that they sent to season ticket holders that we reported on a couple of weeks ago when they sent that out there, they have distanced themselves from not just Deshaun Watson, but the whole spectacle of it all. Yep. I think that they've made a real effort to do that. So they didn't want to be a part of the news cycle, the next Deshaun Watson headline. And if they were going to be, and I think they knew that those questions were coming. I know that they knew that those questions were coming, obviously. And that there would be something written. And so if and when something was written or broadcasted or talked about, like in our situation here, they want it to be boring as hell. Like that, like if we are going to be discussing this, it needs to be boring. Like there needs to be nothing interesting that comes with however we're discussed with Deshaun Watson.
That's
because that's not a good thing for the Texans.
That's what it is. Not boring, but more nothing that you can take and run with.
Well, boring is used in a positive context for them.
Yeah.
In this situation.
Now that guy, and I agree with you, Brandon Scott in for Clint Sterner. He is out today. With Nick Caserio, that had to be the game plan. To me, they had to come together, whoever it is, him, Jack, the rest of the crew, come together and say, what is the goal of this press conference? And the goal, as you just talked about, don't add nothing to it. There's enough logs on this fire, baby. We ain't got to add no more to it.
Right.
No more. Let's just get in here, and when we get these questions and we know we're going to get them, is to just, hey, we're going to let the legal system play out. We're not dealing it. He wouldn't deal in hypotheticals.
Right.
He wouldn't deal in nothing. And to me, that is a smart way of dealing with it. That is a winning way of dealing with it. Because I looked at ESPN, unlike the last time head coach David Culley spoke, where he did add logs to the fire. Thank you. I'm sorry, but you did. That fire grew. After him being indecisive on if Deshaun's going to be the quarterback or not, they couldn't have one of those moments. That had to be the ultimate goal. And Nick Caserio, and trust me, we had him for 30 minutes. We tried to wear his ass down. He would not budge. He stayed with the game plan, and that came out as a positive thing for the Texans.
Well, and I think the one thing that you have to consider or something that you have to consider with this is that there's nothing really positive or good that can come out of speaking about Deshaun Watson directly, whether it's
or in depth at all. Yeah.
Right. Whether you're speaking in a supportive or if you're condemning, like there's no side that they can pick at this point that is right or good for them. Like they are at their best by separating themselves from this entire thing, and they knew that. And so if you keep the focus on the draft, if you keep the focus on roster building, if you keep the focus on doing the next right thing and those sort of things, that is better for you as an organization than to attach yourself to anything about the Deshaun Watson. Another thing about that, I think on top of that, just from a narrative standpoint, the fact that it is an open case and that there is a legal situation, I don't think the Texans want to be a part of that either. Like, I don't think they want their name. You think the Texans like the fact that the organization has come up just being named
Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson?
Or not just that Deshaun Watson supposedly borrowed massage tables. And not that there's anything wrong with borrowing stuff from the facility, but it's what you go and do with it allegedly afterwards.
It's in a lawsuit.
Like, they don't want that. They don't want to be a part of the narrative at all when it comes to whatever happens with Deshaun Watson and how these things unfold in the legal process beyond what they already are, and that's the fact that he's their quarterback or, you know, that he works for them. But beyond that, they don't want to add any fuel to the fire publicly in terms of how the media talks about it, but they also don't want Tony Busby and Rusty Harden putting their names or the Texans name in their mouths either when the next time comes forward.
The big thing today, the big goal for them to accomplish was not to become a headline.
Yeah.
Not to become a headline. And Nick Caserio was probably asked 29 questions about Deshaun Watson in some form or fashion, and he was 29 for 29 in his response. So you got to get – this was an accomplished goal from the Texans and their general manager, Nick Caserio, how they handled the hottest and the most talked about story, you could argue, in sports right now, which is the Deshaun Watson situation. Clint Sterner in the show here with you. Clint is out today. Brandon Scott is in. Yep. But one thing we gotta address with Nick Caserio. All right? We've got enough sample size. All right? This is not when people like Tyler and other people around here were jumping off the bandwagon on Los Correa when he had a tough two games start the season. By God, no. This isn't like this. We've had ample sample size. Fellas, we can clearly say Nick Caserio is not Bill Belichick, right? We can clearly say, like, we all thought about the Patriot. Well, now, there's still maybe some Patriot way-isms in there, but he's no Belichick.
Yeah.
No, he's no Bill Belichick. We can safely say that with the sample size we've had, that he's got a little something.
Yeah, and you know what? To be fair to, like, everybody who's not Bill Belichick, there ain't but one Bill Belichick, right? Like, I think that Bill is really the only one that gets down like that, and that the guys who leave New England often get a bad rap for being like Belichickian or Belichick guys or this being.
Well, some
being,
of them try to.
Well, maybe to a degree, but I, yeah, and Patricia's probably the worst example of everybody out of the tree.
Patricia sure did.
But I do feel like that they are unfairly.
God, he's so
unfairly linked to what Belichick was about when really I think when the guys get out of there, they're ready to show their personality. Like, when was the last time you think Nick Caserio was able to tell a joke in public?
And they're not, and judge if they're good or bad. But yes, no, he's out there. He's feeling himself.
Yeah,
I'm
man.
Just saying.
Hey, look, he may not be Belichick. I think more than anything, coming out from under Belichick, he's able to tell. He's able to get these jokes off.
Vanessa Richardson, she hit him with one of the tough Deshaun Watson questions. Bill Belichick is not coming with this answer.
Yeah, we're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals and a lot of speculation. I'm not really good at that. Maybe somebody else is better than that than me. I mean, if you want to speculate, you should probably go buy Bitcoin and focus on that. So we're just going to focus on the things that we can control.
Yeah. Hey. Look at Nick. Hey. Belichick ain't give you no joke off no Deshaun Watson question.
Hey, do you think he had
the Cincinnati?
Do you think he had that one ready or was that off the cuff?
Oh, he was ready for that. Right. He seems like a plan.
He had
Joker.
To have written out at least five or six
right.
different responses
like
to Watson
yeah.
questions.
And I
for
love
sure.
Nick. Listen, we should have known about Nick's personality when he wore that jacket.
Mm.
You don't wear that jacket at the opening number. And listen, Nick, I maybe we can grab lunch or dinner one day. I'd like to get to know you. But I stand by it. That was not a great jacket. All right. That was not a great jacket. But that jacket should have let us know he got a little something extra in the tank there. He's got a little fun chapter. He's got a little take a chance in him that Belichick and other people out of that Patriots tree don't have.
I would have been interested maybe just to be a fly on the wall on what, and I don't know what Nick Caserio's like religious background is specifically, but I would be interested to know what his Easter suit looked like.
Mm.
I mean, like, I'm assuming you know, he's friends with Jack Easterby, so I assume that he goes to church.
He's got one.
What you think his Easter suit looks like?
Can I get an amen?
I think it's got to be a light tan number.
Tan?
No, it's going to be something pastel.
No,
yeah, it's got to be floral pastel-ish.
I think he might have a floral tie.
I think it's powder think blue. It's,
no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd go with that over tan.
I think it's a light tan. A light tan. Because
he's
going to take a chance with the tie, but he's not going to take a chance. Like, he can't come and take a chance with a nice light purple. Like, I don't think he's got that in him.
No.
As far as he can go is that hideous jacket, right? Like, he would wear that jacket, but I bet you he don't have the pants to match.
I would
like
to see
that.
That
far. And you know what? And I want to defend Nick. Nick, if you're listening, show's got your back. You call me by name multiple times today. I would love it if you just start calling me show. You can. That would be fantastic.
Nick Corsi.
But I want to defend him. Folks out there that are like Tyler and other people that I've seen up and down the text line, let that man live with his word crutch. Yes, he says right a lot. Just let him live.
A lot.
It's okay. It's obviously a word crutch. That's fine.
A lot may be an understatement.
And I think that Nick's trying. He improved from the last time, I believe.
Eh?
Just let him live. All right, Nick, I understand. I support you. You keep saying right as much as you can because I know you're working on it.
And you know what? You're not the one editing the audio show. So you just keep on with that opinion.
I'm just saying, man. Just let him live. You were mad about it before you edited the audio.
Yeah.
Right.
I was telling Tyler, like, I think the reason why he edited the audio the way he did was because he was mad about it. Like, he's like,
that's good.
Get all of these
just
rights up out of
man,
here.
Just let that man live.
It doesn't bother me nearly as much as it bothers some other people. I actually enjoy the fact that this exists because it bothers other people and it's just like another like ancillary thing to talk about that doesn't matter at all. So I'm good with that.
All right. The Brandon Scott said the number one thing that jumps out to him about this entire Watson scenario from the Texans perspective, he'll tell you what that is coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint Sterner is out today. Brandon Scott is in. And Nick Caserio, he spoke to the media. And I'm telling you, we saw a lot of personality from Nick Caserio. And he was very detailed and gave you a lot more than, especially if you had the expectations that he's coming from New England and it's going to be the Patriot way. he gave a lot more substance to questions he was asked that wasn't Deshaun Watson questions. But here is the press conference from earlier with the media with Nick Caserio.
Good morning. Appreciate everybody. Good morning. Appreciate everybody being here today. It's probably been a while since we've all been together. Exciting time of year for the organization, for the respective staffs, our scouting staff in particular. Excited about the opportunity that's in front of us here in a couple of weeks with the draft. That staff has worked extremely hard. Matt Bazergan, James Lipford, you know, on the college side, and even going back to what's happened here over the past few weeks and months on free agency. The staffs have done a great job. Everybody's put a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. Certainly appreciated. Excited about the start of the offseason program here. Kind of kick off football season. We'll see what that brings here starting Monday, but we're excited about where we're headed and, you know, appreciate everybody taking a few minutes here this morning to get together. So I think we'll go ahead and get started.
I wanted to ask you for an update on Watson's situation and about trade possibility, just whatever information you can give us, please.
Yeah, I would say I really don't have any comment. I know Cal and ownership put a letter out a few weeks ago just relative to the organizational stance relative to where we are. So I don't have anything to add other than it's a legal process. We're respectful of the legal process and where that is. So we're focused on today. We're focused on getting ready for the offseason program and getting ready for the draft. So that's where our focus is.
Nick, the last time we talked to us, you said that Deshaun is your quarterback and you don't want to trade him. But have the lawsuits affected at all how teams have approached you about his availability?
Yeah, right now the focus is on the offseason program, getting ready for the draft. So I think that situation is in a legal process and we're respectful of where that is. So we'll leave it there and we'll focus on the things that we can control, which is kind of getting our team ready for the start of the offseason program and getting our group ready for the draft and the opportunities that will be in front of us here, you know, in a couple of weeks. So that's where our focus is.
Nick, you signed Tyrod Taylor and free agency. Why was he kind of a fit for you guys, given the uncertainty you faced at quarterback? Why do you think he was a good person to come in the situation?
Yeah, I'd say generally speaking, when you look at the whole roster construction in the offseason program, what we try to do just at all positions with the entire team is try to identify players that we thought we liked, that may have had some experience with our staff, and that we're looking for the opportunity to compete, to be in a good situation. I wanted to be in Houston. So he certainly fell into that category, like a lot of other players. So, you know, we're excited to start to work with this group whenever that is. And, you know, how it's all going to unfold, like nobody has a crystal ball, but, you know, we just tried to do what we thought was best for the organization, for the team. So that's why we signed the players that we did.
Hi, Nick. There are obviously a lot of scenarios that could happen, from Deshaun Watson sitting out to Deshaun Watson getting suspended. There could be a trial. How are you planning for those different scenarios, and what are your kind of contingency plans as you look ahead?
Yeah, we're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals and a lot of speculation. I'm not really good at that. Maybe somebody else is better than that than me. I mean, if you want to speculate, should I probably go buy Bitcoin and focus on that. So we're just going to focus on the things that we can control, which is kind of getting ready for the draft and trying to take advantage of the opportunities to continue to add to our team and build our roster. And we'll just take it one day at a time and focus on the things that we can control.
Hey, Nick, what is the potential of you drafting up or trading up? And if that's not a possibility, the possibility of moving back to add picks?
Yeah, Mark, it's a great question. I think when you just look at the draft in general, right, there's a multitude of strategies that you can employ. A lot of that is based on resource allocation, and a lot of it is really player-driven, right? So when you talk about moving up for a player or moving up in the draft, who are you moving up for, right? And what's the cost associated with doing that, right? So in order to move X number of spots, okay, it's going to cost you this, right? So part of our draft, I would say preparation, is look at different scenarios, right? How far could we actually move relative to the resources that we currently have in place, right? So I think the most important thing is always being prepared to pick whenever you're scheduled to pick. And if there's an opportunity to move up or down, we'll be flexible, we'll be open-minded, and we'll just try to make best use of the resources that we have. I would say there's no set formula, Mark, of going up or going down. And it's very player-specific and very player-driven. So if you feel like you might be at risk of potentially losing a player and there's a player that you really like, okay, maybe it's worth moving five or six spots. And then what's the cost associated with doing that? So again, we're going to have to look at our picks, what we have, what gives us the opportunity to move up. If we want to move down, we think we can move back and acquire the same player. There's some risk involved in that. So you try to weigh everything and just try to make a good decision whenever you have to pick.
Hey, Nick, I don't want to speculate, but I do want to ask you honestly, did you say maybe a month ago or 6 weeks ago believe that Deshaun Watson could have been traded before the draft? And if so, has that changed at all?
I've never said that. I mean, if that was something that someone said, I don't believe I said that. You know, I think the most important thing for us is to do what we think is best for the Houston Texans. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, Nick, right now, I think you're the only team that doesn't have a pick in the top 60. And yet you have this really valuable asset that you may or may not trade or get offers for. How difficult is it to prepare for a draft when you have, you could pick in the top 10 or you may pick 60 or later?
Good question. And quite frankly, not difficult at all. I mean, we haven't had first and second round picks before. That was the case in New England. I think one year we were picking like 70th or something like that. We didn't have a first or second round pick. We ended up picking four players. So again, I think the most important thing is to evaluate the players, have an understanding on the board top to bottom, and whatever opportunity you have to pick, whenever that is, just be ready to pick the player that you feel most comfortable with. So to answer your question, quite frankly, it's not that difficult. I think we've done a lot of work. We've done a lot of research. Look, we've evaluated the board top to bottom. It's not, well, we don't have a first or second round pick. We're not going to evaluate this group of players. It's kind of irresponsible. But our staff, Lipford, James and his staff, and our area scouts, and we've done a lot of work. We've done a lot of information. Again, when you're watching a team, right? You know, you might think, okay, this player is going to get picked in the first however many picks. But when you're watching that team and evaluating that school, it's not like you're not going to go through your evaluation process to say, well, we don't have a first or second round pick. This player is not going to be there, so we're not going to worry about him. It's kind of negligent, right, or irresponsible. So quite frankly, it's not that big of a deal. I think it gets made into a bigger deal than the reality of what it is. So whatever our opportunities are, whatever picks that we have, we're just going to try to maximize those opportunities.
How do you proceed or go forward with the uncertainty that you're dealing with at your most important position? And then secondly, you look at a guy like a Tyrod Taylor, you say he was a good fit. Would he have been a good fit considering, I mean, this is a guy who's been a consistent starter pretty much throughout his career. Would he have been a good fit if there weren't this kind of uncertainty with Deshaun at this point? A
couple of good questions. What kind of work? Back to front on that. I would say when you look at our team, right? So we went through the offseason, we went through back and evaluated our team, right? And we went through the roster. And I would say specific to the quarterback position, right? There was only one player that was under contract around the team. So we were evaluating that position in addition to a multitude of other positions as well, right? So we went through our process. We tried to earmark or identify some players that we thought we liked. I would say in his particular case, he has some experience with coaches on our staff or has some experience, in this type of offense or system. So regardless, like that was a position where, quite frankly, we didn't have very many numbers, right? AJ was a free agent, Josh retired. So when you have one player at any one position on the team, you need more than one person, right? You're going to need more than one person, right? So I think that's kind of how we approached it and just kind of went through our process and evaluated it accordingly.
Nick, you were, when you arrived here, were a guy who had options. As respected as you were around the league, people knew you were going to be a GM soon. And with the issues with the Texans cap situation, the issue with some of the talent and the draft situation with not having any picks in the top 60, how big a role did Deshaun Watson play on your decision to come to Houston?
Look, anytime you make a decision in a professional decision, right, you're going to evaluate every piece of information, right? So there's a lot of things that go into it. And again, whenever you accept a position or start something new, right, you have no idea what's going to be in front of you, right, or what that entails, right? You can just take the information that you have, make a decision, and make a choice. I was blessed to have the opportunity to come here to Houston. I'm excited to be here. And, we're just going to take it one day at a time. So again, like, are there challenges? Everybody faces challenges. We all have challenges, right? I would say, just generally speaking, there's a lot bigger challenges in society that are taking place right now than anything really going on from our football team, right? So I think it's important to kind of keep everything in perspective. So again, you look at everything, you assess the information, you make a decision, and you just move forward. And look, you're going to face difficult situations and there's going to be circumstances that come up, and how you deal with those situations ultimately is the most important thing. And that's kind of how our approach has been philosophically. I know that's David's mindset. That's our coaching staff mindset. So the past, I would say 3 to 4 months have been, quite frankly, like pretty refreshing and invigorating. Like, we've tried to do what we feel is best for our team, try to build a team, try to put together as competitive a team as possible, and try to get ready for the upcoming season. And that's all we really can control, right? So to answer your question, I think those are the things that are relevant, not necessarily like, here are the challenges and here are the things that, like, it looks like it's a real difficult situation. Again, life's full of challenges, right? And how you handle it ultimately determine, you know, the outcome.
Nick, you've mentioned the personnel staff you're working with here a couple of times, James and that group. They were obviously here before you got here, and you've decided to keep them on it to help you with everything. And yet you've basically done a complete overhaul of the roster and made almost 40 acquisitions. What was the thinking behind keeping those guys in charge of personnel to work with you, and then all the moves that you've made?
Yeah, we've actually made a lot of changes in that area as well. I mean, there's some carryover. There's some, you know, carryover that's been in place, or some people that are still in place. So again, you evaluate everything. You try to assess the information, try to make a good decision across the entire football operation. And that's what we did. So have a lot of confidence in that group, have experience working specifically with James, going back to our background together in New England. So again, there's a lot of factors. It's never one particular thing that goes into making those decisions. It's a good group. It works hard, good, hardworking group. They're smart. And there's been a lot of communication back and forth, and we're trying to put some systems in place. Maybe some things are a little bit different than what they've done previously, but again, we're trying to do is just trying to merge it all together and ultimately arrive at the same point, right? Try to make good decisions for the Houston Texans organization. And really, it's our decision. It's not my decision. It's not David's decision. It's not James's decision. It's our decision organizationally. And once we make a decision, we're going to move forward, understanding, and I would say specific to the draft, right? When we look at that, I mean, we're talking about really a 50-50 proposition, right? So it's a coin flip. So there's some players that are going to come in here that are going to work. There's some other players, for whatever reason, they're not going to work. That's just the nature of what we do, right? And I would say there's a lot of players that we signed, of the however many, 35, 40 players. Some of them might not be here in September, right? So where the roster is currently, it might look a little bit different in September as well. I mean, that's just part of the arc and the ebb and flow of the NFL and the overall roster building. So we're excited about the group of people that are here. The attitude's been great. The energy's been great. And, you know, we're just trying to make as much progress as we can one day at a time and just see where that takes us.
Hey, Nick, with the draft coming up, is there a particular position that you guys are prioritizing more over others in order to improve this team with the season coming up?
I think there's always the discussion of, okay, quote unquote need, okay, versus maybe picking the best player, right? So what we've tried to do successfully or unsuccessfully, what we've tried to do is just create as much competition on the roster as we possibly could, right? So some positions, you know, I don't know, we have like 15 defensive linemen on a team between defensive tackles and the defensive ends, right? So some, there's 8, 9 linebackers, we have 9 corners. So does that prohibit us from maybe taking a player, maybe one of those positions? Not necessarily, right? So you have to assess who that player is that you're evaluating, that you're making a decision on, relative to maybe what you have currently in place, and see how that matches up. And maybe there's another position where A, may not have as many numbers, or you feel, you know what, this player definitively is an upgrade from what we have, or at least we think he is. So we're going to go ahead and select that particular person. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily position specific. I think our focus is just trying to find good football players that are good people, that have the right mindset, that want to come here, that want to work hard, that aren't afraid of competition, that are going to embrace the opportunity in front of them. And ultimately, it's not going to be about what I think. The players are going to ultimately determine how big of a role or who plays, right? So just try to bring as many good players, as many good people into the building, and let the competition sort itself out. I think that's the mindset and the approach that we're taking, as opposed to, we need to draft this specific position because of this, or we want to take this particular player because of this, right? Because if you do that, it might lead you astray. And I think you just want to try to be true to your evaluations of specific, we're talking about the draft, be true to those evaluations, and you've graded the players a certain way. So what you don't want to do is, well, this player at this position, you know, is graded a little bit higher, but we have so many of those players on our team already. Maybe this player is graded a little bit lower, but we don't have as many players. Okay, so you're going to take the player down here, right? You got to be careful about doing that, because it goes against all the work that you put into it, right? So again, it's about just picking the right people for the Texan, the right players, not necessarily a specific position of quote-unquote need.
Hi, Nick. You guys start your offseason program next week, correct?
The start of the offseason program is scheduled for Monday. That's correct.
Do you expect Deshaun to participate in that?
Well, and this isn't any, this year's no different. It's a voluntary program, right? So players have the option to participate in the program. So it's a case-by-case basis, and each player will make the choice that they feel is best. What we're going to do is we're going to do what we've done actually the past couple of months. Like, the building's been open. We've had a multitude of players that have been in here. They come in the building, they test, they go in the weight room, they work out, they go through their process. So again, whatever players are here that choose to participate, like, that's their choice, and we're going to create as good of a working environment for the players as possible. So when they come here, they feel comfortable and they feel like they're improving as a Houston Texan football player. So that's what our focus is going to be on.
Nick, based on what you just said, when offseason program gets beyond the physical conditioning, and they would usually be on the field. If they're not on the field, how does that affect a new coach, defensive scheme change, and so many new players that you've brought in to just have it virtually?
Yeah, John, look, there's only so much that we control. So we'll take advantage of whatever opportunities that we have, whether it's virtual meetings. And then if we do have the opportunity to work with them on the practice field at some point, then we'll embrace that opportunity when it presents itself. So we can only control what we can control. We don't make the rules. We just comply with the rules, and that's what we'll do. So whatever opportunities that we have with the players to try to help them, to try to give them the opportunity so that come training camp, they're in the best position to compete, like, that's what we'll do.
That is General Manager Nick Caserio. He spoke with the media. And I think one of the things that jumped out, and I know you, I think you said it before the show, is you can clearly see what Nick Caserio gets excited to talk about.
Yep.
You can clearly see what it is that he enjoys, and he kind of lights up when he gets to talk about real on-the-field football stuff.
Yeah, or the transactional nature, yes, of like, basically what he does, the roster-building aspect of it. Like, when Mark Berman asked him about trading up or trading back, like, he was really ready to get into that, you know. Whenever he was asked questions about Tyrod Taylor, I thought, you know, when he was given sort of a direct question about personnel, you really got to see him kind of get into his element. You know, that was when I think you got the most rights. Like, people don't like
that.
They're
doing it again on the text line. Just let that man live.
Hey, man, he is into what he's talking about, and he wants to make sure you're following him. That's his, you know what I'm saying?
And I'll be honest, our crack producer, who I believe is the second most attractive producer outside of the East Coast in the country that does shows between 2 and 6, Tyler Milner, a.k.a. T. Sleazy. Just the greatest producer in the world, Tyler T. Mill. He took quite a few of the rights out.
Yeah.
So there are actually a lot more rights. Just let that man live. And speaking of a crutch, and I'm about to say one of mine, me and Eric Bieniemy share this crutch. I will say this. I say this a lot. So does Eric Bieniemy. I agree with the texter. I have really been pleasantly surprised by Nick Caserio more and more and more. I think the moves and him, the way he's come to the podium and how he's handled things, I think he executed his game plan to the fullest today. But I will agree with this texter. I still can't reconcile trying to build a good team in the NFL. You hired David Culley. I have still – that decision still is a struggle for me.
Yeah.
And like I said, I can see, I'm not saying it's going to work, but I can actually see a vision and plan, and I think the Deshaun Watson situation has obviously thrown a wrench into it. He would either have a top five quarterback in the league, or he'd have the most coveted free agent we've ever seen in the NFL that would bring back the most that anybody could bring back. So you could see but I still don't know how the hell he said, Dave.
You know what question that I would have liked to ask him that I guess I'm not going to say I didn't get a chance to, because I did get a couple of questions in there. But one thing that would have been interesting to have him answer is, like, what is going to be his on-the-field involvement? What's going to be his game day involvement? Like, what is his vision for the offense? Because absent of a guy who has an identity like that, and Dave Culley is not that guy, we have no idea what to expect from him. I would think that somebody with Nick Caserio's background, not just as a personnel guy, but as a coach as well, he might have some influence on what the on-field product looks like, not just personnel, but from coaching. So I'd love to hear that, to have heard that from him.
Was today, and for Nick Caserio, a good day for the Texans? Did they accomplish their goal? We'll let you hear and discuss that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!